Celtics come back to beat the Pacers, and Peyton Pritchard rules the land here on a Wednesday Locked On Celtics. Miller, let's go. Rain and Jay's back with the vengeance back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. I'm John Corrales. I host the show, I cover the Celtics, and I do this thing on a Monday through Friday basis. So if you're new to this podcast, welcome aboard. This show comes to you, to your device, when you subscribe every Monday through Friday. And today, I'm coming to you after a 116-111 win over the Indiana Pacers. Boston Celtics knocking off the undefeated Indiana Pacers. What a win. All right, it's early. I'm trying to get excited about something. Celtics come back after blowing it in the third quarter again. But Jason Tatum, 27 points and 14 in the fourth quarter. Peyton Pritchard, heroics, energy, all of that stuff. Celtics come back after Oladipo looks great. Malcolm Brogdon looks great. All of that stuff. But it's a big win, and we're happy about it. Typical post-win format for the podcast. Segment one, the good, including Pritchard and Tatum and all of that stuff. In segment two, the bad, which is the third quarter, Jeff Teague again, and a couple of other things. Segment three, story of the day, Peyton Pritchard. And look, I hate to be the guy that's going to pour a little bit of cold water on this. Love Peyton Pritchard, love what he's done. I see a couple of maybe stretch-type takes out there. And so, you know, I'll talk about that in the third segment, okay? I'm trying to make some sense of it. But let's just start here, segment one, the good. I want to start with coming back, just the general third quarter sucked, fourth quarter comeback, late third quarter, kind of Pritchard was part of it. And so the comeback was, I think, important because the Celtics have had some of these third quarter struggles. This one was another third quarter struggle. And in the Sunday night game, the Celtics kind of took a while for them. It looked like things were falling apart, and it took a while for them to finally like, okay, fine, we'll run some offense and we'll make a comeback. In this one, they really turned it around early. And had a huge run in the fourth quarter. A lot of it was based on Pritchard coming in and his energy, and then Tatum taking over. But just being able to make that comeback, just finding it within themselves to make that comeback is something that I want to just highlight. And, you know, after the game, we were talking about, like, we have a tendency to be like, okay, wow, this was a big win. This, you must feel good about this. The players are like, eh, you know, okay, yeah, it's a good win. It's a nice win, but it doesn't really change a whole lot. And it's true. This win doesn't change a whole lot. It means the Celtics are 2-2 versus 1-3, and that could mean something come playoff time and when you're looking at seeding and all of that. That's important. All wins are important, but the Celtics didn't figure anything out necessarily. They've added some positive things to the to their data gathering, but you know, this is just a nice win. It means much more to the fans a win like this than a win does for the players. So they're just like, okay, yeah, nice. Jaylen Brown's like, yeah, we're still in the same spot we were yesterday. We're okay. It was a good win, and it means something good that we fought back. So I'm just going to pop that into the good column. They won. That's good. Pritchard, and again, I'm going to talk about him in the third segment, but his energy really changed the game. He came in and he was just all over the place. And the ball was in his hands a lot. He ran pick and rolls with Robert Williams and found Robert Williams a couple of times. And that pairing really, really worked. Two high energy guys that came in really made that stand out. And Pritchard was just, he made so many good plays, like where he turned the ball over, but then his hustle came back and he had that play where he tipped it away from Victor Oladipo, then comes down the other end, gets the ball, comes down the other end and feeds Marcus Smart for a three-pointer. Marcus Smart, by the way, 3 of 6 from three and had 17 points. That was very indicative of what Peyton Pritchard was doing out there. So he screwed up. Okay, head down, run back, get back into the play. And it's odd that you look to a rookie for some level of inspiration, but I'll tell you what, if I'm Brad Stevens and I'm in that film session tomorrow and showing the guys like, okay, so Peyton Pritchard, you screwed up. Here's what you should have done. Don't get yourself into that situation again. But everybody look at this. Instead of putting his head down, instead of getting down on himself, run back, get back into the play, make a defensive play, and then turn around and make the next right play. That is very indicative of everything that Brad Stevens has wanted, making the next right play. So that's what really stood out. More than anything else, that play really stood out as a teachable moment for him, a teachable moment for the team, regardless of age. Don't sulk. Don't get mad at yourself. Don't jog back. Run back. Make the defensive play. That really was a 5-point swing because Oladipo was, he had a very strong chance of making a basket there. You take away 2 points from them. You add 3 points to your score, and that changes the entire dynamic of how that fourth quarter goes. Huge, huge play from him. So Peyton Pritchard, very good. Again, more in the third segment on him. Tatum's fourth quarter, 14 points, 3 rebounds, 2 steals, 4 of 6 from the field, 1 turnover, 6 of 7 from the line, 6 of 7. Jason Tatum took 10 free throws in this game. Hallelujah. This was great. He played 40 minutes. By the way, side note, after playing 40 minutes, I wonder if Jason Tatum's going to play against Memphis. No Ja Morant. Memphis, not a great team. Maybe the day after on a back-to-back, they pushed him out there 40 minutes, and they're going to give him Wednesday night off. Just thinking about it. Possible. Anyway, Tatum's fourth quarter was great. And one thing that stood out to me in this game about Tatum is that he's so much better playing off of 2 feet. So much better playing off of 2 feet. And last season reminded me of how often last season, remember when Tatum was really struggling to make layups early in the season? And I don't know if you recall, but I do, them saying, I just got to play off 2 feet more. And Brad Stevens was talking about, he's got to, you know, do this, do that, and play off of 2 feet. And when he plays off 2 feet, you watch this game in the post. One of you asked me about Jason Tatum. Should they post him up more? And I think I initially was like, you know, you probably don't want to get too caught up in too many post-ups. But I tell you what, they probably should post them up a little bit more, at least a little bit more. Run some plays. Run some offense that end up in post-ups for Jason Tatum, because with his back to the basket and using his shoulders, I think he can make, he's pretty good on the post, actually. Like, I think he's just naturally good on the post. And he uses those shoulders and he can really pivot and spin and get himself some decent looks. He's got that nice high release. Tatum on the post can just do anything that he wants. So, but there was a move where it was 98-95. He comes down, he gets the ball on the right side, He's got his pivot foot set. He's backing down. It's just, he ends up drawing a foul, made it 98-97, makes the basket. That's an example of playing off of 2 feet. Get the ball, set yourself, boom, make your move, decisive, strong, playing through the contact. It was great. He probably could have had another couple trips to the line. That's where Tatum's really at his best. Tatum is not at his best when he's driving and trying to shy away from contact and whipping his arm out and trying to like do these little flip shots. Those are high degree of difficulty. That's why he has trouble finishing at the rim, because he's in the restricted area and his arm is so long, it's outside of the freaking paint. And he's trying to do these little like kind of weird hook type shots. It's just go through it. And I think if he just plays off of 2 feet more, he'll be much more effective. He's got to get back into that habit. One last thing here on the good, Tristan Thompson. I just got to shout out Tristan Thompson, who was just a monster, especially early on. 14 points, 10 rebounds, 7 offensive rebounds. Holy crap. Really nice game. And I think some of the best things that he did with some of the offensive rebounds was after he grabbed it, and instead of forcing something, he kicked it back out, reset the offense. Sometimes you just got to do that. As a big. Up next, some of the bad things. You know what the bad things were. Do we have to tease what the bad things were? Those are all next. BetOnline.ag is the place that we trust for your betting needs. Football is winding down. The playoffs are around the corner. There are bowl games. There are basketball games all over the place, college and pro. There's plenty to bet on. So go to betonline.ag. They've got you covered. If you sign up for a free account at betonline.ag and you use a promo code LOCKEDON, you're going to get a 50% welcome bonus. So you win right away just by depositing money. They'll match up to 50% for that 50% welcome bonus. So go to betonline.ag. They've got in-game options. If you're watching a game, somebody tweeted at me, said, hey, can I bet on the Celtics collapsing in the third quarter? And I'm pretty sure you can. There's in-game bets. You can kind of work your way through the in-game betting because there's over-unders on the third quarter. There's a spread on the third quarter. You can go and bet that in the third quarter at betonline.ag. It's worth checking out. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. And I just talked to you about betonline.ag. You're probably in the middle of setting up your own free account there. But betting on the NBA doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks and quick hitting advice. Make the smartest possible wagers. So subscribe to that Locked On Bets podcast. It's brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get your podcasts. Now, on to the bad, because the Celtics are still bad at points. They're not going to be great throughout the entire game, and the third quarter has been where they get bad. The Celtics, again, struggling in the third. The Celtics came out, I thought, strong in the third. Like, I thought they were really trying. It just wasn't going at the beginning. And then they started to get into more of those bad habits. Now, they outscored 37-25. And the Pacers were able to take 24 field goal attempts, mostly because the Celtics had 4 turnovers in that quarter alone. The Pacers only had 1. And those turnovers turned into shot opportunities. Stop me if you've heard this before. This is exactly how the Celtics' troubles continue to happen. Turn the ball over, and watch that lead disappear. They had 14 turnovers overall. Okay, four of them came in that third quarter. Now, you come out in the third quarter, you start maybe missing a couple of shots. Daniel Theis took 5 shots in that third quarter, and only one went in. He missed a couple of threes. Marcus Smart missed a couple of shots. It was not a great shot-making quarter. I think the Celtics got away again from their offense. Meanwhile, TJ Warren went nuts, played the entire third quarter, and had 15 points. The Celtics just have to trust themselves in these third quarters and not fall into the same traps over and over again. When they get to running their offense, they can get out of these things. When they get into, I think they went to a bunch of ISO. It's happened again. And they had their problems. Jeff Teague, also a problem in this game. Struggling again from the field. 2 of 7 overall, but he did, 2 of 3 from three. So I don't want to hear it anymore with the jinx. He started hitting his three-pointers again. But overall, Jeff Teague, not great again. Grant Williams, also not great again. Grant Williams got 5 minutes in this game, played 5 minutes and you're minus 10. Now, again, we don't want to put too much stock into single game plus minus, but he came in that third quarter and it didn't work. Now, I think Grant Williams, I mentioned this the other day in the podcast with Tony East, but I really think Grant Williams, I think he's being asked to do a little bit more, and he's trying to do more, and I think he's had moments. Like, offensively, I think he's attacking closeouts. I think he's making plays. Like, his passing has been pretty good for the most part, and he hit a three in this third quarter, but he played 5 minutes, he hit a three, and he was still a minus 10. So he was on the floor for the worst of that third quarter. I think defensively, this might just be a matchup where he struggles. I think he might benefit from playing with different groups. I think part of what Brad Stevens is doing here is kind of experimenting. And the other thing that is part of my bad is that Brad Stevens is just kind of throwing things at the wall. Like, Javonte Green was the early sub in this game, and I thought Javonte Green played fairly well. He got 20 minutes in this game. It was 3 of 5. Has a few rebounds. 7 points. I thought he defended fairly well. But in the third quarter, no Javonte Green. Javonte Green played 15 minutes in the first half, and then 0 minutes in the third quarter. And then in the fourth quarter, he came back in and played the last 5 minutes and was part of a good fourth quarter performance by the Celtics. So I think Brad Stevens, I don't know, we get so caught up in the, oh, was he overthinking this? What's he doing? And blah, blah. I think he might have just wanted to see, all right, Javonte worked here with this combination. Let's see what Grant can do. Maybe Grant is going to work in this scenario. I don't know that he's making rotations like playoff rotations. I don't think that he's trying necessarily everything that he does is a function of trying to win this particular game. We all look at it as, well, you make moves to win games. I think that he's just trying to see certain combinations. Does this guy work with that guy? Does Grant work in this scenario? Does Grant work against certain type of players? So and this is just me guessing. That's what I think. Because having that information means later on in the season, when things really matter, or in the playoffs, when they really, really matter, you have that information of, hey, well, we used Grant in this situation against this player or this type of player, and it didn't work. So we can't go to that. So even if Javonte, I mean, assuming that Javonte is even part of the team in the playoffs, but let's say he is. And if that scenario presents itself, you say, wait a minute, we haven't, let's say they haven't played Javonte in a while. Now all of a sudden they can say, well, we've seen this before. It was in that Pacers game. We can use Javonte in this and he can work. I think that's more of what Brad Stevens is trying to do. So in terms of this game, you look at it and you say, what the hell is Brad Stevens doing with some of these rotations? But if you take a bigger picture view in mind, you say, all right, well, if he's trying things, then he's trying things. And all you can do is try things and then eventually start saying, this definitely hasn't worked. This definitely doesn't work. This definitely does work. And we're going to do this or that and not do that. It's early. It's early. So we always look at things from the view of winning and losing games. And we explain to ourselves that everything that happens is, well, this is just because he's trying to win the game. So we see everything from that perspective. That's really, like, yes, Brad Stevens wants to win every game, but he also needs to evaluate a lot of things. That's the bad. Up next, more on Peyton Pritchard and just a light tap of the brakes. Not full pump your brakes, people. Just a light tap. A light tap. A slow easing onto the brakes with Peyton Pritchard. We're going to do that next. We'll try to ease our way into our day every day, but you know that at some point, no matter how hard you hit those brakes, you're going to hit a wall and you're going to need something to get you through it. And that something can be Built Go. It's a healthy replacement for your energy drink, but that energy is not fake. It's lasting. It's natural. It is the best workout gel on the market, but you don't have to be working out to use it. It can get you through any mental or physical wall throughout the day. The packages are small, an ounce and a half, so you can throw them in your bag, your briefcase, your gym bag, wherever. Put it in your pocket. At some point when you hit that wall, whatever it is, wherever it is, whenever it is, you pop out one of these packets and you can take this energy gel in one of three delicious flavors, peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, chocolate mint, and get through your wall. What makes it work so well? The collagen protein in that energy gel makes it fast absorbing, so it gets into your system fast, it's easier in your stomach, and it's loaded with all the good stuff to ignite your work, like beta-alanine, B3, B6, B12 vitamins, honey, and a kick of caffeine that gets you through that wall. Collagen also promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health, so it literally makes you look better. Check it out for yourself. Go to BuiltGo.com. Use the promo code LOCKED. You'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 20% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. Peyton Pritchard was the big story in this game. I mean, he kind of overshadowed Jason Tatum in a lot of ways for a lot of people. He was certainly his energy changed the entire scope of this game, the entire direction of this game. He came in and, like I said before, was forcing the Celtics to play at his pace. And when we were talking about Pritchard earlier, when he was drafted, that was going to be his value. When the Celtics get a little kind of sluggish, Pritchard comes in, changes the entire pace. His energy, his effort, all of that stuff. And I see people talking about, hey, you know, Pritchard's look good. Maybe he's going to play himself. Maybe he should play himself. He could play himself into the starting lineup. So, okay. This is where I say, let's tap on the brakes just a touch. You don't have to slam the brakes. We don't have to pump the brakes. We're going to just ease into a nice controlled slowing down. Like you see the cop up the way and you're like, okay, I'm going about 15 miles an hour too fast, but I'm not going to be obvious about it. I'm just going to slow it down to the speed limit. Nothing too crazy. So Peyton Pritchard played well against Indiana. And maybe if they play the Pacers in a playoff series, yeah, you get a lot of Peyton Pritchard in that. But we have to remember that he was not good against Milwaukee, and he was not particularly great against Brooklyn. He was better, but he was not particularly great and was picked on often by bigger players. And I say that just because we need to set our expectations a little more properly here with Pritchard. Like what he did against Brooklyn, Indiana in the second game here it's a very nice line. 4 of 8 shooting, 10 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, a steal. 3 turnovers are not great, but turnovers happen when you're a point guard and you handle the ball a lot. I need to see a little bit more from Peyton Pritchard. Like, let's just assess the whole situation here. He's great in this role right now. And if the matchups look good, then he can maybe have a good stretch. You look at the Celtics schedule, they play Memphis and then Detroit a couple of times, Toronto. There's a little stretch there where they're not playing the biggest teams in the world. They're not playing the best defensive teams in the world. Toronto's struggling right now a little bit. They haven't won yet. He could have a nice little stretch. Miami might be a little bit tough, depending on how, whenever Jimmy Butler gets back, however they shake out. But there's a stretch here where he could be okay. Whenever they get to Philly, I'm not sure that I want him playing, at least starting against Philly. He's going to be much better suited to come off the bench there. But the point is that don't ask for too much from the rookie too fast. I think there's a natural inclination from people to say, oh, wow, the Celtics have been struggling a little bit, but this guy came in and did all this. Wow, we need to really rely on this guy. We really need to put him in the starting lineup. We really need to push him a little bit more. This is exactly the kind of guy that we need. Blah, 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 blah. Like, let's remember, he's still a rookie. Let's not push him too hard, too fast. The Celtics starting lineup has not been an issue, at least to start the games. Maybe in the start of the third quarter. Maybe you want to do something different. Maybe. But to start the games, the Celtics have been good. They've run their offense. They've looked good, crisp. The too big thing has worked. I think offensively, they've done a fine job. I don't think that's the issue. I don't think you want to throw a rookie out there too fast, too soon, and put too much on him. Now, he's a mature kid. even though he's a rookie, he was a four-year college player, and I think that matters. I think the 4 years in college helped him. And he said as much after the game. He said, look, after my freshman and sophomore years, I wasn't taking it seriously enough. And after my junior year, I was like, all right, I've really got to prepare myself. I really got to make sure that mentally, physically, I'm at my peak. And that has been why, part of why, he's able to prepare and get himself right for these games. So maturity-wise, he's certainly ahead of the curve. I think having him come off the bench is a great place to keep him. 25 minutes off the bench, if the matchups are right, roll with him. You know, if it's clear that it's not working out, don't push him too hard. Feel free to sit him down, because he's mature enough to handle that. If he's getting picked on, pull him out. It's all right. Not a problem. We're going to fix this. But we're not going to put you in a position to first of all, fail. Second of all, to hurt the team. But the last thing you want is for a rookie on this team to be out there getting his ass kicked and just say, we're just going to let it happen. Baptism by fire. Sorry, son. No, you know, there's a confidence issue. You got to make sure that you keep his confidence up. And I don't think that this matters as much to Pritchard. He seems to have a good head on his shoulders, but also it's something that can impact everybody. So he's still making mistakes, and it's very easy to overlook some of the mistakes that he made. Still over dribbles sometimes. He gets himself caught a couple of times. I think sometimes he gets into the, well, when all else fails, just shoot it, which is a great mentality for a shooter to have, but sometimes he has to be just a little bit more poised. He's very poised in all of this, and I think that he's doing a great job, but it's important for a rookie to be in a position where his talents are maximized. And in a game like this against Indiana, I think Brad Stevens was just like, okay, it's working. We're going to go with it as long as it keeps working. And it worked for a while. I don't think he intended. I don't think he came in and said, this is a game where Peyton gets 27 minutes. Now, he's played 23 and 25, so it's kind of where he's fallen in the last three games. But if it wasn't working, he could have gone right back down to 15 to 18 very easily. So my point is that, yes, Peyton Pritchard has done great. Yes, this is a nice story. Let's just ease this into more responsibility. Let's ease him into more responsibility, because he still can get picked on defensively. Like, he can defend, and he's made some nice defensive plays, but I also saw TJ Warren shoot like right over the top of him very, very easily. If he's in a lineup, think about the lineups that you're putting him into. Who does he guard? Is he guarding somebody that is going to be bigger than him and can shoot right over the top of him? Like, there are so many things to consider. And if you put him out in the perimeter, then you push everyone else down a spot. Are you going to make him the starting point guard, a starting two guard? Well, now you're pushing Tatum and Brown down a spot. Now, Jaylen Brown, if you start Pritchard with Smart, now Jaylen Brown goes from basically your three to your four. And instead of playing up high with the two bigs and playing off of the handoff and screen and rescreen that he's been getting and that's been working for him, part of why Jaylen Brown, I just wrote a big thing on RedsArmy.com. So if you go there, you'll see the evolution of Jaylen Brown. If he's not doing that stuff, then he reverts back to what he used to be, which was great, but now you're asking him to be a completely different player. Not completely different, but you're asking him to kind of adjust so you can put a rookie in the starting lineup. Because when Kemba comes back, I think Marcus Smart should go to the bench and have him as your backup. But even so, I don't think that this is like the right time. Right now, I don't think this is the right thing to do. I don't think it's right to put too much pressure on him. I don't think it's right to put too many expectations on him. He's succeeding so far. Keep doing what's been succeeding. And then slowly add more to his plate. Put too much on his plate right now, it's just going to be too much. So I'm not asking for too much from fans. I'm not saying to be, you know, to completely put everything in check. I'm just saying let's take this irrational exuberance. Just bring it down to rational exuberance, because there's still a lot to be exuberant about with Peyton Pritchard. He's clearly shown all of us that picking him at 22nd was appropriate. That getting him there and not playing a game and waiting to see if he was going to be around later, that this move was appropriate. And so with that, I will end this podcast. Tomorrow, another post-game podcast, because the Boston Celtics play the Memphis Grizzlies on Wednesday night at the Garden. So subscribe to this podcast right now to make sure you get the post-game podcast tomorrow on your device, wherever you get your podcast. Hey, also subscribe to Locked On NBA. Jake Madison and I have already recorded our Wednesday night show. So we host the show on Wednesday nights. Full recap, full look at the NBA, the night in the NBA. So make sure that you are subscribed to that as well. Regular listeners, I appreciate the 5-star ratings, the good written reviews, and the sharing of the podcast. Make sure you're telling everybody to listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.